take a seat right where you are in Jesus' name. You're going to be looking at Luke, the book of Luke, and we're going to continue in the message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are you Luke chapter? Let me see what that is. Luke chapter 2. Amen. Amen. If you don't have one of these, a budget form for you, we want to give you a budget form as well. So if you'll be looking at the book of Luke chapter 2, if you get there, say, go Saints, beat them Bears. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I plan on watching the Saints this afternoon, praying for better outcomes than previous years. Also, we will not have Hope to the Streets this week due to the fact that it's very cold and is suspected to be rainy, and maybe it'll snow, right? In the name of Jesus. I don't know. So I don't know what it looks like, but I know it's going to be snowing, and people don't like talking to you whenever there is a Saints game. And so, especially if the Saints lose, it gets really bad, really fast, and they don't really like talking about Jesus a whole lot whenever you do that. So we're going to move it till next week, pending on whenever the game is. We'll let you know in Jesus' name. Let's look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. Are you there? Say, go Saints. We're looking at verse 41. We were looking at this as a family within the last couple of weeks. And so it's Christmas. It's the story of Christmas. And so we want to sort of dig into the word. And then we want to talk about get financial or growing in financial wisdom. Okay, so we're going to head there. Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. It says this. Now as parents, we're talking about Jesus. And Jesus' parents, who would be Mary and Joseph, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, Jesus was 12, it says they went up according to their custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. Now that's a concern. If anybody of you have ever lost a kid before, it gets a little bit concerning when you lose a kid. Can you imagine, though, that you lose Jesus? I mean, you don't just lose a kid, you lose Jesus, the Son of God. And so we're looking at that. It says his parents did not know it in verse 44. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. So you lost Jesus, but you didn't lose him. You lost him for a day. And you say, well, that sounds very strange because in our culture, we don't lose kids for days, right? We lose them for a couple of minutes in a store at the Walmart or at the Rouse's. We lose our kids for a moment, but Mary and Joseph lost Jesus for a day. Now, this is why. They would travel in groups, and so they would travel in clans with their families, and so it would be very easy for Jesus to go play with his cousins or his brothers or his sisters. Yes, he had them, and so he would go and play, and they would travel together from town to town, not in a car, but maybe on horse or on camel and those kind of things. And so it'd be easy to lose him for a day. And so in verse 45, it says, well, in verse 44, but it says, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintance. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem. So they're going to Nazareth, but they're going back to Jerusalem because they lost Jesus. They're going back to a big city. Imagine like a New Orleans type city. And they're searching for him. And after 3 days, everybody say 3 days. So you lose Jesus for a day, but then you go back into Jerusalem and you can't find him for 3 days. This is serious. And so after 3 days, it says they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. I would have been mad, but they were astonished. And so it says they were astonished. And his mother said to him, now look how sweet she is. Mary's sweet. She says, son, why have you treated us so? Now, I would have went off. Like, Jesus, where were you? We lost you for 4 days. This is really bad on me. It's bad on you. For the rest of the world and all the time, from here into eternity, people are going to talk about this story. And she just says, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand that saying and that he spoke to them. And he went down with them, and he came to Nazareth. So Jesus sees his family, goes back with his family, and look at it, he's going to return to Nazareth And look how he did it. And he was submissive. So anybody who struggles with submissiveness, Jesus was submissive to his parents. And all the parents said, amen. What a perfect example, kids, right? When you're thinking, I want to do what I want to do, Jesus was submissive to his parents. He listened to them and he honored them and he respected them and said, even though he was the Son of God. And so how much more so can us as young people submit to our authorities or submit to those that are over us? And it says, and his mother treasured all these things up in her heart. And this is Mary. She's always treasuring up things. Angels visit, I'm going to treasure that. The Magi visit, I'm treasuring it. Jesus is preaching in the temple at 12 years old, I'm putting that up as a treasure in my heart. And verse 52 is where we want to stop this morning. It says, and Jesus increased. Somebody say increased. Okay, say that a little bit louder. Say increase. Like you're excited about increase. Because nobody wants to decrease, so we definitely want to increase. And I love this. One of my favorite authors, Corrie Ten Boom, we're reading her book, The Tramp for the Lord, with my family this week. And she said, you can take verses like this and that you can begin to apply them to your life because they are a perfect example of what we can have in our life. So it says in verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And so today we are going to break those parts. And this month we're going to break those parts apart. And we're going to talk about increasing in wisdom, increasing in stature, and increasing with favor with God and man. Now, doesn't that sound good that you would have favor with God and that you would have favor with man? So we're going to talk about that first word. Are you ready? We're going to talk about wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. So we're going to increase this morning in wisdom. Now, what exactly is wisdom? We have a definition. Wisdom is the knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. Now, you can have knowledge about something and not be wise. You ever know someone who knows the entire Bible backwards and forwards and backwards, and yet doesn't follow it? They're not wise. They can have the wisdom, they can have the knowledge of the Bible, but they don't apply it to their lives. And so many examples like this, you can know about something, but it doesn't make you wise. What wisdom does, it says knowledge and the capacity to make good use of it. So you get the knowledge, and then what you do is you take that knowledge and you say, okay, I am going to apply that to my life. Now in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, now we're reading through Proverbs, it says, get wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Now this was poetic. This was a poem book. And so he's speaking to as a woman that would protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Proverbs talks about wisdom 46 times. Over and over again, that you would get understanding and that you would apply it to your life. So this morning, we were thinking about wisdom in our lives, and Pastor Ted and myself, and we were looking at two different kinds of wisdom. There is a spiritual wisdom, which we'll talk about next week, but there's also a financial wisdom, and I get the great pleasure of talking about that with you this morning. So we're going to be talking about spiritual wisdom next week, and this week we're talking about financial wisdom. Are you ready? Amen. So we're going to talk about three things. We're going to get a table and a pie. That sounds good and yummy. It's almost lunchtime, but if you're fasting from sugar, you can't eat, okay? But if you want a piece of pie after service, come and grab one. We are going to show you an example of financial wisdom, okay? Now also, we have in your bulletin is a budget, so grab that. If you don't have one, lift your hand up to the sky and our ushers are going to grab you one. So let's lift your hand like this. And if you need a budget, you say, because you can hear my sermon, but if you don't apply it to your life, then you're not able to do what is the very thing we're talking about, which is getting and growing in wisdom. Now, for those of you that like applications or you like apps, you can go and get some wisdom. DaveRamsey.com. You can go and get an app on this. And so it's easy and simple. If you're old school. I am old school. I like everything written out. You have it in your bulletin. So we're going to talk a little bit this morning. Now imagine that your finances are like a whole and complete pie. You see the pie? It's yummy. It's chocolate eclair, something or other. It was on sale at Rouse's. That's a part of wisdom, buying things on sale. And so we are given to you for free. Amen. So we're going to cut this pie into 10 equal pieces, okay? That way it's fair across the board. Now, whenever we're looking at financial wisdom, I don't care if you're 13 or if you're 83 in the church this morning, all of us can afford to have financial wisdom, right? I mean, can I get an amen? If you're young, the beautiful thing about being young is that you should not have a lot of debt. And so a lot of us older people have a lot of debt because we were not wise. And so what we need to do is, if you're young, don't get yourself into debt. Don't get yourself into a whole bunch of problems that you can't pay for. Try to go to school for free. Try to get into college for free. Try to do things that you can pay for. Don't go off of somebody else's life. Live your own life. And so we're going to talk about looking at the first thing in Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. That's the next verse. We're going to talk about number one, and it's give. Now look at this. We're going to talk about giving first because it's important. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3. It says this: honor the Lord. Everybody say honor. Now get that. You are not honoring the church or the pastors or those things. When you give, your giving honors the Lord. So if you want to honor the Lord, all of us talk about honoring the Lord, but the Bible says honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits of all you produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Now we love the last part of that verse. I love barns filled and we are good and everything is healthy and well and it's an overflow. But the Bible says in order for that to happen, the first thing you do is to honor. Everybody say honor. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Now, if we're looking at a pie as an example, the Bible says one-tenth is his. The tithe is his. We're honoring unto God. So what Pastor Ted has done is he has taken out one-tenth of that pie. Now, get this. The whole pie is the Lord's. All of it's God's. See, we think that it's all ours. That's a bad mindset. All of our wealth, all of our prosperity is God's in the first place. So to honor God with it, we're saying, God, we are giving you one-tenth of what was already yours. So if you're looking at $100, $10 is already God's. If I'm looking at $1,000, 100 of those dollars are already God. If I'm looking at $5,000, 500 of those dollars are already God's. Why? Because I am honoring the Lord with my wealth. I am honoring God with my finances. Now, in the world, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, Miss Tara, really? You're looking at that? But God is so clear over and over and over. When you give, then it'll be given to you, shaken down as a blessing. And so I love being around generous people. I love people that are generous. My family was here for the first service. They are some generous people. I love getting Christmas from my parents because it's a very beautiful gift. They honor God with their tithe. They have honored God over since I've been young with their tithe. One-tenth belongs to the Lord. You give it, and here's what happens. God blesses the 90%. God honors the 90%. God increases the 90%. And I don't know how that happens, but spiritually, God promises. You can stand on God's word. God, I have honored you with my 10%. I have given you 10% of my first fruit. So God, I am asking that as I have given, that you will take care of all of my needs. You will take care of all of my bills. You will take care of all of my debt and decrease it in the name of Jesus. That you will begin to look at that and you offer it and you give 10%. Why? Because you're not honoring anybody or anything. You are honoring God. Everybody say give. Okay, now the second thing, after you've given, for example, we get paid on the 15th of each month, and so as soon as I get paid, I take out my checkbook. I'm old school. I don't know all the new stuff, but I take out a checkbook, and I just give God my tithe before I do anything else, before I pay any bill, all of that, I'm honoring God with my 10%. There it is, God, it's yours. And then from there, I work on what the second thing is, a budget. Everybody say budget. Now, I wanted to say this at the first service, it's like a B word, but my mom was there and she would fuss me. And so this is not a bad word. This budget word is a good word. Everybody say it's good, it's good. So a budget doesn't limit your freedom, it gives you freedom. If you will have, now this is wisdom, this is wisdom. This is financial wisdom. The Bible talks about this over, take care of everything you need, store up, budget. So when you get your money, whenever you get your money, you are going to set up a budget. Everybody say budget. Okay, now if you're married, we're married, our money is together. I think that's a biblical, godly, God-honoring principle. Is it like written plainly in scriptures? I don't think so. But the two shall become one. So we are going, as a married couple, you need to take time and say, you know what? I am going to budget my money together. Together. There's no hidden money. There's no money that we have saved up for like something happens, you know, and like the, you know, something, are you crazy? Or you have a little, there's nothing hidden in between a marriage. If you're single in the room, you do this by yourself. And if you have a struggle, get someone to hold you accountable. Call up a friend. Call up me. I would love to be up in this. And so I'm being serious. And so it's a gift. And so I've learned it from my mom. And so anyway, so, you know, get someone to hold you accountable. Young people, if you are getting money and you get like $100 a month and you're young, I'm talking about like teens, 18 and under, you get to privilege, save it. You shouldn't have any bills. You shouldn't have like, you know, electricity or water. So save that money so that you can collect a lump sum of money so that when you get married, you have a blessing to your marriage. Here's a lump sum. Let's go buy a house. Amen. Or let's go buy this big thing. So young people, get into the habit. My young people, I have four of them kids, and we make them save like 30% of their money. You, as if those gaming systems are not that big of a deal. That house in 10 years is going to be a big deal. And so that's wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. So whether you're young or single or married or whatever it is, take it's time every month you set out and set some time apart and set up a budget. Everybody say budget. Now I gave you one right here. So we're going to take our cake experience again. Now, some of the things, now this is beautiful. I love this piece of paper because I'm a paper, but you could do it on an app. This paper is what, whenever Ted and I got married, my dad required us to go through this class with Dave Ramsey. And we took this exact paper, it's been 10 years in existence, and we listed all of our, well, first of all, your tithe and offering. Then you listed on some part of the paper all of your income. So right before we got married, how much do you make? How much? He made a lot. I made very little. And so we put that together. And then what we began to do is we sat down together, and it took us a couple hours the first time. And we looked at how much are we going to save? How much is housing? For example, housing is very expensive. So we're going to take out two pieces of the pie just to cover your house note, whether that's rent, and maybe you're saying, eventually I want to own a house. So you are taking that budget, and what you're doing is you're stewarding it. So you've given your 10%, and then you look at it and say, I need this much to pay my house note. I don't know how much your this much is, but then you put in housing. Another thing, utilities, right? So utilities, you take that utility, whatever, your light bill. Now, some months that's going to be high and some months that's going to be low. But take a medium and say, this is generally how much my light bill is. This is generally. Do you know it is very expensive if your lights get turned off? Not only does it cost you to get it turned back on, you have to pay an extreme amount. That's phone bills, water bills, anything that you get turned off because you can't pay your bills, they are going to make you pay a large sum to get it back on. So you got to budget this well. You can't be thinking about this big product. Rather, you've got to pay your bills. Another one is food, right? Everybody eats. Some of your families are small. My family is big. We have a big old piece of our budget for food. I had four kids and a hungry man. And so he has to eat. He just put two pieces in there. Okay, so here's the thing with food. They have two spaces. One is groceries. That's a necessity, right? You have to eat. I mean, come on. We all have to eat, but we all don't always have to go out to a restaurant. Now this, you know, I'm speaking against the American culture, but limit going out to eat, okay? So I put it in a budget. So our family has a budget for food, which we absolutely need, but then I also have a budget for restaurants. And guess what? We get to go out to eat about once a month. About once a month, we have a big family. And so for us, and as my family grows, you know, you all get water, you squeeze lemons. Hallelujah. And so that's the good. And so we go out. That's all we can do. That's what's in our budget. So about once a month, unless we have a gift card, we spend that time going out to eat, because I can't afford going out 3 and 4 times with a family of 6. And if that bill on a good day is 70, and 70 times 4 is $240 for the week, times 4.2, which is how many weeks are in a month. Do you see what I'm saying? $1,000 that I'm going to spend to go out to eat is absolutely absurd. And so I just had to say, now Ted loves going out to eat. He loves going out to eat. I'm a good cook. I don't know why. And so he, you know, but we sat down together and we sort of just said, okay, but this is going to be the new us. We can't spend all of our money, because that is something that sort of goes away. And if I could just get some red beans and rice from the house and spend a little bit of money, it's a lot wiser. Not to say you can't ever go out to eat, but I'm saying is watch it. And so you look at the budget. You spend clothing. We have transportation. Some of us still owe on our cars. And so you might need to put out a slice of your pie for transportation, our medical, our health, or maybe you have some insurance. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're good. Maybe you need health insurance. Also, on the back end of this is something called debt. You list out every, be honest. If you're getting married or you are married, be honest and say, these are our debts. And this is what we are going to pay down. One of the parts of this budget, I love this part and I want to talk about it, is called blow money. Now, blow money is this: you can blow it on whatever you want to. Because when you start budgeting, you're going to feel like, oh, I used to just spend money when I wanted to, and now I can't. So you're going to have this blow money. Ted and I decided when we got married, there would be a determined amount of blow money for both of us. And here's the thing. He can spend it on whatever he wants, and I can spend mine on whatever I want. Typically, because we're very different. Ted and I are very different, if you did not know. And so financially, we are too. Typically, Ted is going to spend his money the next second after he gets it. And he got Christmas money, and I'm telling you, the next day when stores open, he was there busting down the doors, 9 o'clock in the morning. I got Christmas money and I want to spend it. Here's the thing. We never fought about it because it's Ted's money. It's his blow money. And if he wants to waste it in the first day, hallelujah, I don't care. Me, I'm a saver. I got a little part in my drawer and I'm like, boom, whenever I want to go on a nice girl's trip, boom, I got money. And I'm like, and he never gets to go and he don't care. And so like the difference is when you have that blow money, it gives you some freedom to buy something, but you never within your relationship have to argue about finances, because everything else besides that blow money is put down in a budget. So we already know this. We have to do house. We have to do food. We have to do utilities. We are doing tithe. And then that little bit of blow money gives you a freedom to feel like I have something I can do. I can have some fun. I can use my own money. And that's important. That is important. Ted has taught me that is important. Here's a couple of notes that I have as you budget. Now, you have to go home and do this. I cannot do this for you. But if you will do this, I'm telling you, you will begin to have some money in the name of Jesus. And so we are going, a couple of tips. If these are my tips, these are not Dave Ramsey. If you can't, the other slide, if you can't afford it, don't buy it. Say that to yourself. If I can't afford it, don't buy it. Okay. So if you cannot afford whatever that is, that money, if you're looking at your neighbor and they just bought a brand new boat, but you know you can't afford the brand new boat, that means you cannot get the brand new boat unless you saved up for it in your blow money. And so then you can, and that takes a while for us. And so you, if you can't, there's no competition. We are not competing against each other. If you can't afford it, you can't buy it. That's just truth. And America's teaching us, oh, go into debt for it. And that's where we get in all of our problems. Number two, wait for it to go on sale. I mean, that's a big thing. Wait, the sales are amazing. Wait for those big holidays. You're buying a big ticket refrigerator. Wait until those big holidays come. You're going to get a nice sale. Don't get it because someone else has it. That's another thing. And then, of course, I said, be careful on how many times you go out to eat. So you give. Everybody say give. And then you budget. Everybody say budget. And the last thing is this, baby steps. Everybody say baby steps. Now, these are seven steps. Well, six. I took out six because personally, we're not paying for our kids' college. We think they can pay for it themselves. But that's my own theory. Here we go. Number one. So after you have given, after you have budgeted, then you're going to start these baby steps. This is so powerful. Number one, save $1,000. Now, that might sound like miracle money to you. But you budget it. You put it in your budget. Okay, we have $50 left over in our budget. We're going to put it in a little savings and you cannot touch it. Why? Because typically something is going to go out, right? You need new tires on your car. Your hot water heater, it goes out. What do? You take out the credit card and you put it on credit. Well, they love that because now after a month and you can't pay it, that you owe them all this money. So if you could have $1,000 saved and you say, you need two new tires, nobody stresses out. You go to your savings, you grab the money, you pay for the tires, and then you get busy collecting $1,000 again. You just get it. Now, this is Dave Ramsey, Christian, godly man. This works. I'm telling you, we did this right before we got married. We did this. Number two, pay off debt. Everybody say pay off debt. Now, what do you list all your payoff debts? For us, we had four or five that we had. So what we did was we said the first thing was the drums. We owed on the drums. Those were our personal drums. And so we owed on them and we paid it off. It felt really good. We threw a little party. We might even have went out to eat. We didn't have four kids. So we went out to eat. And so I said, yay, you throw yourself a little party and then you work on paying off your next debt. It's usually bigger. That debt is bigger. So for us, it was furniture, I think. And then we had another bill. Eventually, you start feeling good. You ever start winning victories? Like, yeah, I paid off this debt. I did this. I got my debt free. And so the last thing we had was his truck. And so that was a large debt that we had to pay. So we're chunking all of our extra money, and we're paying off his truck. And I'm telling you, how excited that we are debt free besides our house. We have no debt to our name. So that helps our budget a lot because we have no debt. So you save $1,000, and then you pay off your debt, except the house. Number three, you save after this 3 to 6 months. Why? If something happens, if you lose a job, this happened to us in 2015. In 2015, Ted walks in at our old building. We were building this church. We were adopting four kids. And he said, I just lost my job. We had no warning. He was working as a shipbuilder designer, making great money. They didn't get the ship. He lost his job. And I don't make much. And so he's looking at, what do we do? We had saved for 3 to 6 months. So I said, we're going to do nothing. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God, what is the next step in our lives? Why? Because we could. Because we had saved for 3 to 6 months. We did not need a salary. We didn't need any money. Our bills were going to be fine. We were collecting for our kids. People blessed us with that. And so we just began to say, okay, God, so if you have 3 to 6 months of expenses, that gives you some freedom if something were to happen. So next step, save 15%. So all of us eventually are going to get older than we are right now. We can agree? Yes? Okay. So you start saving. I mean, that was biblical. And so you start saving 15% of your income into retirement. So you're looking for your future because you don't know if the government is going to be able to provide for you whenever, especially young people. We don't know if that money is going to be there. So we need to make sure that we have some savings and some retirement. Number five, this is a great one. We're not there yet. Pay off your home early. So you have a home and you pay off your home and say, okay, I'm going to start putting my money towards a home. And then number six, you're going to build wealth and give. And I mean, talking about that's leaving a legacy for you and your kids and your grandkids and your great grandkids. I encourage you as one of your pastors, I encourage you to get and grow in financial wisdom. This thing affects so much of our lives. I know we can say Jesus and we can preach Jesus, and we do. There was a young person I remember this, and I close. She was 17 or 18, excuse me, she's about 21 years old, and we met in Mexico. Right after my senior year, I went to Mexico, to Monterrey, Mexico, to do missions for a summer. And I was living with a missionary, she was too, and at the end of the summer, she felt like God had called her to stay in Mexico and to minister there. And she says, you know what, I can't do it. And I said, well, why can't you do it? God said, yes, you should do it. She said, I have $40,000 of debt from my school that I went to. It was a Christian university, and she had $40,000, and she said, I don't have a dime saved up. And so she had to go back to the States and start working so that she didn't follow the call of God. Rather, she had to pay all these bills that she had. And sometimes when we aren't good stewards with our money, the enemy does the same thing. He's saying, oh, well, you can't afford to give, or you can't afford to go. What if God calls you on a mission trip, or he calls you? If you have financial freedom and you're growing in wisdom financially, you can begin to do the things God's called you to. You can begin to say, okay, God, I have that. I'm able to do that in that area. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? I just want to pray over you this today. I know it's a different kind of message, and it's so important to give. It is so important to budget, and then to work on those baby steps and say, you know what, I can start with step one. I could put $10 away, or $20 away, or I can put $50 away. You know, some things have happened within in our culture where we've had a little bit more financial blessings. Use that time and say, I'm going to put that into savings so that when I need something, I don't have to go into debt. Rather, I can just use what God has already given me. God, we thank you that you own the pie. It's all yours. Our money, our finances are yours. You have blessed us, God, tremendously. God, when we look at other places and other countries making $2 or less a day, God, how much you have blessed us here in America. I pray that we'll be grateful, God, that we would be honoring unto you. And God, that every piece of funding that you have given us, God, that we would account for it. We would be good stewards. We would be faithful to give. We would be faithful to budget. And God, we'd be faithful to work out our debt and out of those things and say, God, yes, I want to be financially wise. Help us not just to hear this message. God, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We love you guys. Hey, these are at the welcome desk. Grab 12 of them. They're 12 months in a year. You can do that. And so we'll see you guys Wednesday at 6:30 if you need another one, or we can copy these. Or if you have questions, we would love to answer any of your questions that you might have towards this sermon, or go and check out DaveRamsey.com. Amen.